Okay.
How are you doing today?
Really well.
Okay. Why don't you start out telling me about
the Chautauqua?
There you go. Yeah, the Chautauqua.
Okay. One of the first things I can remember is going to a Chautauqua and seeing Uncle Tom's cabin. At that particular point in time, people just didn't have the entertainment that we do today. No radio, no television, no movies. So somebody thought up the idea of having a Chautauqua. That means, my husband says it means something about entertainment. What did you say it meant? Anyway, it was entertaining. And so people would come from miles around to this big tent, and they had folding chairs, and they would hear really good singing, and they would hear ministers that they never would have had a chance to discover. And this particular summer, Uncle Tom's Cabin came to the Chautauqua, and my great-grandmother took me. I was 5 years old. It was my birthday. And I was just so happy. And I can remember because there was one sequence where little Eva, I can't remember the story of Uncle Tom's Cabin very well, but I was so amazed by this little girl, little Eva, because she had on a white dress and a pair of wings, and she was supported by wires some way, and she just flew out over the audience. And I was very, very thrilled. And then we went home, and we were going to have a birthday party, and it was going to be a surprise. Of course, I didn't know about it then.
Mm-hmm.
So they took my dress off and put me to bed, and I was taking a nap. And I can remember how annoyed and how aggravated I was because they had all the little girls come in and wake me up. And just to show you how little girls were brought up then, I was brought up to be very, very modest. And I can remember how aggravated I was that they brought the little girls in and they saw me without my dress on, laying there in just my slip. It's a far cry from the way things are today.
Yeah.
But I was really upset. Then,
Well, talking about Uncle Tom's Cabin, was there any, like, Ku Klux Klan thing?
No, there wasn't. Not at that time. It was quite a bit later that the Klan came to Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember the year that it started. I really can't, but I can remember that they had quite a strong organization here, and once in a while they would burn a cross either in front of the churches or in the town square. And there's one point that they burned a cross in the square where the grandstand is. And we had a man in town whose name was Spiro Michello. He was from Greece. And he was so terrified when he saw that fiery cross because he was afraid that they were going to do something to him. Because the slogan of the Ku Klux Klan was Protestant, white, and native-born.
Mm.
So he fell into the, he wasn't native-born. And I remember my stepfather belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. Well, I'm kind of proud of him. Well, anyway, he belonged to the Ku Klux Klan, and the principles at first seemed very good to him, but the farther he got into it, the more his eyes were open. Oh, maybe she can erase that. But I was so proud of him because...
He gets him back to telephone call.
They wanted him to spy on some of his Catholic friends and some of the people that he knew who weren't native born. Mm-hmm. And he told my mother that if it had gotten to the point where he had to spy on his friends, he didn't want any part of it, and so he dropped out. But I went to visit my grandfather, who was kind of a, I don't know what they call him, a grand dragon or something, grand something or other. And there was going to be a big parade, and I had a little hat with KKK on it, a little sailor hat, mm-hmm. and I was going to march in the parade with the other little kids. It's a big parade, and it was in Findlay, Ohio. And so, of course, naturally, I was real thrilled. But my grandmother made one mistake. Mm-hmm. She had liver for supper.
Oh.
And she made me eat liver, and liver was something that I just never would eat. And the reason it sticks in my memory so is because I was violently ill, and nobody got to go to the parade, not even my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
The Ku Klux Klan around Dundee died out. It just died a natural death. I think people just got wise to the kind of organization it was.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have said that, should I?
Well, at least, you know, it's a...
Maybe you can edit this. Then the next thing that I was thinking of was World War One.
Oh, yeah.
That was really never touched me very much. I heard about it in a kind of a general way, but my mother kept all of the horror stories away from me.
So how old were you then?
It might be about five, I think.
Five?
Along there. I do remember when the armistice was signed. I'll never forget that. My mother came into the bedroom and got me out of bed and put my bathrobe and slippers on. And we went downtown and...
In your pajamas?
In my pajamas and my red robe with the gilt buttons on that she just made me. And I remember some tall man putting me up on his shoulder. So I had a ringside seat, and I could look around all over the town and see people dancing and swinging each other, and the band was playing, and every bell in Dundee was ringing.
Mm.
And people who never took a sip of liquor in all their lives were taking a swig out of a bottle that everybody was passing around to everybody else.
A community
you
battle.
Just can't imagine.
That
it was just like everybody went crazy. They passed it to my mother, and she said she just pretended. But there were people that really weren't just pretending.
Well, I think she took a couple of gold.
And that's what I remember about World War One. Is when it ended. I remember that. And I was very fortunate when I was a little girl because I had association with my great-grandfather who fought in the Civil War.
Mm.
And I used to stay with my grandparents a lot. And he had the cape to his army coat. They had quite a blizzard once, and I had this cape around me. And they had me crawl up in a rocker by the kitchen stove because it was so bitter cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been sick. And Grandpa had gone into Dundee and got me. And maybe you'd like to hear the bug life about the buggy I rode in.
Sure.
It had a little bitty window that they called isinglass that you could look through. And then there was a storm curtain that buttoned down and a place for the buggy reins. And he wrapped me up in a blanket and with a soapstone.
A soapstone, what is that?
that is a stone that you put on the stove to get good and warm, and then that keeps you warm when you're going on a long drive.
Yeah, well, anyway, you wear a hand pipe.
We used to have them a long time ago.
The stove, and you carry it out to the buggy and put it on the stove. And you put your feet up.
And then that kept you warm.
So you had a blanket or a...
Grandpa had a
rug
big...
over something?
Yeah, he had a big...
Well, it was soap, though. It was limestone. Like when you get out of the quarry down there.
Uh-huh.
But it was cut nice and smooth. But like a bam, you carried like a bam.
Oh.
You put it in the oven, you got it warm, and then you took it out. And buggy, when you got ready to go, you got in.
It was nice and warm. You didn't have to wait for the car to warm up.
Just like a heater.
Well, it was real thrilling going to visit Grandpa and Grandma because they always had lots of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa always had a cat that he called Dinah. Didn't make any difference how many generations of cats he had. The main cat was always Dinah.
Mm-hmm. Diner.
That's right. Diner.
Yeah.
And then when he took me home, after I'd been there a while, it was Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was snowing. And he was always carrying me. He carried me up to the house so I wouldn't get my feet wet. And they had a Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree had candles, that real candles,
mm-hmm.
on it. And right beside of the Christmas tree was the pail of water with a dipper. So if a fire started, they could put fire out. But can you imagine a tree with all those candles on?
They had a lot of candles on?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big tree?
Big tree.
Does the light
look very, very big to me? But that was the year that we didn't have a lot of toys for Christmas. But my mother got a little doll, a tiny doll, and crocheted a complete wardrobe. And that's the nicest Christmas I've ever had. I was a great big girl before I discovered that everybody didn't have lace on their petticoats and their underclothes. My great-grandmother always crocheted for me.
Mm-hmm.
I always had real fancy lace.
And all handmade. And
mm-hmm, all handmade.
Well, of course, back then they were all handmade.
Yeah, that was Grandma. Well, maybe you'd like to hear about the Depression.
Oh, yeah, that was
quite interesting. That was an interesting period.
No, is it depressing?
Sure. Depression. Well, that was a time that when people look back, it was a time of real hardship. But I don't remember any hardship connected with the Depression. It just seemed to me like we always had so much fun together. We did things like playing checkers and putting puzzles together and reading and visiting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the radio hadn't come into common use during the Depression, had it? No.
Not at our place.
Well, not at our place either. And people used to exchange things. For instance, my father quite often would take farm produce in payment for services to the farmers.
And what did your father do?
He was an electrical contractor. And they had electricity on a lot of the farms at that time. And he would go out and repair electrical circuits and things for farmers who needed the electricity to keep their milk cold and so forth, things like that. And, you know, you weren't supposed to spear fish.
But why not?
Raisin River. I don't know why. But it was a law at that time. But they relaxed that law, and men would go out in boats and spear fish and bring them into the town square, and they had big washtubs there with ice in. And anybody that was hungry and wanted fish, just going up themselves, just went and got it.
And then they didn't have to pay for it or anything?
Didn't have to pay for it.
Well, that was
See,
nice.
Those fish were speared out of sea.
Was that it?
I don't think you were supposed to spear fish. You know, you could catch them on a hook. But I think they were out of sea.
Well, I remember.
And they didn't get in trouble for it?
No, they never let that.
They had permission.
I don't know whether they just done it on the QT or whether... No, it wouldn't be relaxed statewide or anything. It was just one of those things.
Our community.
A locality.
Because there were
people could go and get a fish.
People were really, really in need. One family that I know of lived on popcorn.
You're kidding.
For about a week. And the man was ill. He had mumps. And as soon as he could possibly go, he got up and walked to Monroe to get welfare. And he became dreadfully ill, going out too soon after he had the mumps. But he got welfare. And you could get raisins and prunes and rice and staples. Mm-hmm. And I remember it hurt my dad just awfully to have to go and accept, because he'd always stood on his own 2 feet.
Yeah.
And to have to accept things like that. And he almost lost his home. He went to the man that he had bought it from and told him that he couldn't keep up payments and that he might as well foreclose. And the man said, well, what in the world would I want with that property? I've got more property than I can pay the taxes on. If you could possibly scrape together enough money to pay the interest, I'd rather you stayed right there. That's what he did, and eventually my dad did pay for his home. And that was the home on Strawberry Street where Grandma lived.
Oh. Wow.
And the people across the road, somehow or another, got a hold of a Jersey cow. I don't know if, I'm sure they didn't buy it, but they got a Jersey cow some way. And they had a shed to house the cow, but they had no pasture. And we had a lot of grass, because at that time Dad owned quite a bit of property on Strawberry Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Now, there weren't as many houses on Strawberry Street.
No, they weren't. It wasn't built up at that time. In fact, from Mechanic Street to the big house on the corner of South and Strawberry, there were no houses.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And that all belonged to Dad.
Oh.
So they used to pasture the cow. And I don't remember what we did about water. I guess I know what we did. There was an open well across the street. You had to let the bucket down.
Mm-hmm.
Put some water in the bucket, and then turn a crank. Crank the tail up, and then there was a big washtub. And the cow had water in that washtub that we carried to her.
Mm-hmm.
I say we. I didn't carry any water to her, but Mother and Dad and Mrs. McCasey was the lady's name. Mrs. McCasey always milked the cow.
That was McCasey's cow.
That was their cow. But we went in on the feed and pastured the cow.
It was the best cow there was in town. She gave milk enough for about three or four. tablets.
Oh, yeah. And she just gave away the milk then?
Yes.
She was a good cow. She just gave all she had, that's all. She didn't give a lot of milk, but she gave all she had. And that's all you could ask of an old cow.
Mrs. McCasey and my mother used to make donuts. And it was really a cooperative affair because they would have cream from the Jersey cow. And Mrs. McCasey had a few chickens. So they used her eggs, and my mother had the flour, and they just pooled everything, and then they made enough fried cakes for both families.
Oh.
And if they had tried to do it, just one of them, it would have been kind of a hardship.
Mm-hmm.
But we had gardens, and about the prices, good dress material cost 10 cents a yard.
Oh, wow.
And butter was something like 5 cents a pound.
Mm.
And everything else was priced the same. If you wanted to do something, you made your own good time. You made your own fun. And I know if you went on a date, 50 cents was an enormous amount to spend.
Oh, my goodness.
If your boyfriend had 50 cents and could take you out, really, really had a rich guy.
Oh.
Well, no, he had 50 cents. You'd be sure he got it away from him before.
You hold on to him.
Don't let him go home with anybody.
One of the things that we liked to do, my girlfriends and I, we enjoyed bicycling and hiking.
Mm-hmm.
We'd start out early in the morning with our lunches in a sack, and one place we used to go was out to Big Willow Flats.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that is?
Yes, I do.
We would go out there, and we would play up and down the creek, go wading in the creek and just run around in the woods all day. But I had to be home before dark, so I'd have to be sure and come home when my mother told me to, or I wouldn't get to go the next time. She was strict that way.
And you'd walk out there?
In a bicycle. And then there were times that I walked up there. We did a lot of walking and hiking. Knickers were very popular then, and I remember a pair of classy knickers that I had, and I always wore those when I went hiking. And did you ever stop and think what a difference between the world then and the way it is now? I don't know that I would want my little girl to go out and run around in the woods all day.
No, definitely not.
It isn't even advisable to go out walking up and down the road, but you could walk for hours and never even see a car.
Oh, or a person?
Or a person.
But if you saw a person, you weren't afraid of
them. Did you know?
They were nice people.
Hmm.
And even, well, we had some strange people in Dundee. They were, well, strange. That's about the only thing.
but they were just the mayor and the
government official.
There was one very strange person, and his name was Morris Seth, and he was a child that was never supposed to ever be crossed. No matter where he went in the neighborhood, if he wanted something, you were supposed to give it to him.
Now, why is that?
Well, his mother operated on the theory that was the way you brought up children. And they were somewhat of an unusual family because they were Jewish, and their ways were different than our ways. And I don't know whether you want to record this or not, but Mother had a friend with quite a sense of humor, And this boy went over to her house, and out behind the shed, there was an old chamber. And Jukas took a fancy to that chamber.
No, a chamber, you mean a little room like
that? I mean a pot.
Oh, okay, that one.
And Julius put it on his head. And he was just real thrilled to death. And the Sepsis had a house full of company, and some of them, I think, were rather important relatives from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady said to my mother, well, you're not supposed to take anything away from Julius. Just let him have that. And he marched across the street with that chamber pot on his head.
Oh, my.
That was kind of a mean trick, but we didn't cross him.
No, no, you did just what the mother wanted you to do.
There were a lot of unusual people that didn't fit the pattern of, I don't mean normal. They weren't like everybody else. And there was one family, the father was a Spanish-American War veteran. And there was the mother and two children. And the little girl turned out very bright and very smart. Learned to sew. Very pretty girl. The little boy was somewhat retarded. And the mother was rather odd.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of ours, a man we know, had discarded a mattress from his home. And he'd taken all the trouble to get a pickup and take it to the town dump. And he took it down to dump. And no more had he taken the pickup back and come home himself when he looked out. And here's this very unusual lady dragging this old mattress up the street to her home. He said if I'd known she wanted it, I'd have taken it up to her.
Really?
But there was one interesting thing about that family. For all their strangeness, the boy held down a job. He was given a job sweeping at Tecumseh Products. And every Memorial Day, he went into the flower shop and ordered a beautiful patriotic display of flowers to take out to his father's grave, which I thought was quite unusual.
So there was a lot of character, I guess would be the right word.
Yes, very interesting people. There was one very sad thing that happened during the First World War. I don't remember it, but my dad told about it. There was this young fellow that was very concerned. He didn't want to go to war, and he was terribly frightened. He was afraid, and he too was a little strange, and the people teased him. The young fellows teased him and teased him here in town, and he committed suicide. That's the saddest.
That was the brother to the gold lady. You remember hearing about the gold lady?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, the gold lady was the ladies that had the old house over here, where McDonald's is now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I know. There were two old maids that lived there. And the old ramshackle house was an old fallen down house. And they had goats in it.
Okay,
and everybody thought it was a terrible thing that killed ladies were around there, goats living in the house and all of them. But the man she's talking about was their boy.
Oh.
And he, they would be the age of the people that went to World War One. And
okay.
Their brother, he was recharged a little bit. And the other fellows, they were normal then, the same as they are now. They teased him. And he was so frightened that he I will put that in.
Uh-huh.
That was really
good. This sounds more of a, how did he do it? He did
what, a gun. See, okay. your mother will know what's wrong with your dad.
Uh-huh.
About the gold thing.
Now, they may have told me that, you know, when I was little, but I forgot.
They live right next door to the big brick house there on your left here.
Yeah.
Well, they live right where we got.
And do you know how many ghosts they had in there? Just a tremendous amount?
Ghosts?
Ghosts?
Oh, my goodness. People wouldn't believe that. I mean, there were ghosts. You go by a chair. There were ghosts looking out the upstairs window. There were ghosts looking out the window downstairs. And ghosts on the porch.
Grandma, I can get it. We can look at it later.
That's all right. It's good for me to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the hospital and get some therapy. If I sit too long, I get too stiff.
Mm. But there was a lot of ghosts in there. It's so dumb, but I can just do this. I can stop it.
No, I was stopping to think of it, but you don't, you weren't old enough to remember the building, but...
I do remember the house.
The old... black looking.
Because I can remember as a little kid looking at it and thinking it was scary.
It was. And but that used to be years ago when those people's mother and dad was there.
Mm-hmm.
They had a beautiful set of buildings there. That was a nice house, and there were some beautiful barns out there. Were painted red barns with white trimming on them. And that was a nice farm building.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now it's in town, but it used to be on the edge of town. It was a farm. And that farm went down along Ann Arbor Road. All that land over there on the other side of Ann Arbor Road was part of that farm that went tear down almost even with here.
Oh, wow.
It was quite a large farm. And that was the Knowles family. The Knowles family.
Okay.
And a nice farm. And they had two daughters and a son. And the son committed suicide, and the daughters never married. They were old maids. But they were queer. You don't use that word. They were odd.
Uh-huh.
But they were brilliant. They both had gone to college. They both had a degree. And they both had taught school. And in the latter years, the one of them just stayed there at home, and the other one taught school. She taught at the University of Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But she was odd. I mean, she still lived in that old place there with her sister and the goats. But she taught school, but in college. But she was a brilliant woman.
Now, how would she get up to this university?
Pardon?
How would she get up to the university? She had a car or horse, buggy?
Well, she, no.
Was there,
we're talking.
Up to the